by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? He has the ability to quicken or make alive our human flesh that we might serve Him. And so He wants us to be quickened by His Spirit. Verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, or if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, this is important for me to point out this morning. He doesn't want us to abuse ourselves, to try to put an end to the works of the flesh. And what I mean by that, in the Roman Catholic Church, during the time of the, when they're celebrating Passover and they're celebrating the resurrection of what Christ did on the cross, there's people that will actually will crawl on their hands and knees up to a certain holy point because they think that that's going to make them more holy by abusing their flesh. So they'll take a whip, Sister Gail, and they'll whip their own back to try to show that they're reverencing what Christ did, and more to, they think that's in putting their self to death that way they will somehow be able to achieve and be more holy. But that's not how it happens. It doesn't happen through us trying to abuse ourselves or hurt ourselves. It comes through the Spirit. It comes through the Spirit helping us and guiding us to put to death the deeds of the body. When he leads you to turn off the TV, you might feel the Holy Spirit say, why don't you turn that thing off and why don't you pray? Amen? You sat before that idiot box long enough. Get up and turn that thing off and pick up your Bible. If you through the Spirit will mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We've got to be led by the Spirit. He wants to teach us how to pray. Hallelujah. And the only way you can learn how to pray is simply by praying. Hallelujah. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If all I live about is what makes me feel good, what my eyes say I want, what the appetites of my flesh say I want, what my own wisdom tells me what I want, then I'm going to die, the Bible says. But if I, through the Spirit, be guided by the Spirit, that's where life comes from. So He, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now that's important. I thought as I read that, it's important for us to know we're not supposed to live in fear. We're not supposed to live in foreboding, right, of God coming like a whack-a-mole, and every time we make we do something wrong, boom, He's going to hit us on the head. Every time we make a wrong move, boom, we're walking on eggshells, and we're walking on, if you please, like potato chips, and God's just up there ready to go, boom, clobber us. But no, we're walking because we have within us the spirit of sonship. And that in that spirit of sonship, there is within us crying out, Abba Father, Daddy God. Hallelujah. Daddy God, I want to please You. I want to walk before You in a way that honors You. I want to be guided by Your hand. I want to be directed by Your word. Hallelujah. That's the motivation. Okay, I'm a different person. I'm a different person now. I've been saved. I've been changed. And now I want the Spirit of God to guide me and direct me. Hallelujah. And understanding that now I'm indebted, right? There's a different motivation now, that now because I'm saved, because I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus, because I'm a changed person, now I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to live for selfish ambitions, but I'm going to live for the One that has made me His Son. Hallelujah. And that I have the right to be in His presence and have a relationship with Him. It's a powerful thing. I want you to see that, that this is the call, this is the privilege of those that are born of the Spirit, and now He wants us to be led by the Spirit. Of course, we don't get it all right away, but we need to become sensitive to what the Spirit of God is guiding us and directing us to do. We need to be reminded that, remember when Jesus ascended into heaven, He said, I don't want you to go try to do anything. Don't try to go preach. Don't do anything. He said, go tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's a time right now in the body of Christ when we need to realize without His power, without the Spirit of God and its endowment on us, we can't really, we're not capable of doing what God is calling us to do as the body of Christ. There's just not that dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But we need, church, to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't try to enter into His ministry, right? Although He was astounding of people at 12 years old, He was astounding the doctors of the law as they asked Him questions at 12 years old. And yet He didn't start His ministry until He was baptized in the River Jordan and He came up out of the water, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in a form of a dove and remained upon Him. That's when His ministry began. Hallelujah. When He was endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we read in Acts chapter 1 where the followers of Christ and His apostles are curious, and they're saying to Jesus, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're saying, what is the plan? What is the program, Lord? What are we going to do? How's it going to look? He says, is this going to be now when You're going to restore the kingdom? And guess what Jesus says? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which I put, but the Father has put in His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, My program is Holy Ghost power. My program is Holy Ghost infilling. Hallelujah. It's not for you to know all the times and the seasons, but what you need is the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to indwell you, so you can be led and driven by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to get back to be led by the Spirit of God. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. How many know that when you talk about a person that's drunk, I remember years ago, we went to this haunted house. We were standing in line, you know, getting ready to go into this haunted house. And there was this guy that was in line with us that you, after a while, you knew he was drunker than a skunk. And he was just stumbling around, stumbling into the ropes and stumbling into people, you know, and everybody was getting annoyed by the way this guy's behaving himself. And he was saying stuff. And you know how what people say, he said, oh, don't pay him any mind when he says anything, because it's not him, it's the wine or it's the alcohol that's speaking out of him. He's walking a different way. Why? Because he's under the influence of alcohol. He's saying things that he wouldn't say. He's doing things that he wouldn't do because he's under the influence of alcohol. He's drunk. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Instead of being under the influence of wine or alcohol, get under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God and let that control your speech. Let that control your walk and your talk. Let that control where you go and how you behave. There is a power that's available to you and I. It's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that we need to tarry and wait for it. Ask God, look, God, I don't have the power to live the life that you would have me to live, but I want that power. I want that indwelling. I want that endowment from on high that I might live according to your purposes and according to your will. In fact, I remember as I was talking about Jesus being baptized with the Holy Spirit at the River Jordan, the Bible says in the book of Mark that immediately, the Bible said, he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I thought about what a powerful picture this is, that there was a drive upon the life of Jesus. Because of the Holy Spirit upon his life, there was a drive, there was a purpose, there was a direction. But it was all because of the Holy Spirit. Because he says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled there is a nautical term which relates to the wind filling the sails of a sailboat. Oh, praise God, Sister Patsy. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you direction. The Holy Spirit will fill the sails of your life and give you an understanding of the direction that He wants you to go, the purpose and the plan for your life. There's something dynamic about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. He is a helper. Oh, praise God. He's a great comforter. He will help you and guide you and I as we seek to do the Father's will. Now, the power of God came upon Jesus, and why? It drove immediately. Think about the urgency. Immediately he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And why was he out there? He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. What was he doing? He was mortifying the deeds of the body. He was dying to himself. God, by His Spirit, might lead you to push the plate back, to deny yourself a few meals so that you might become more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Just be sensitive is what I'm saying. Be open to what God, because He wants us to put to death this part, this body, so that we might become sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our lives. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast, but also to confront the tempter. He was led out there to face down the temptations that the devil would bring his way, but not just to be tempted, to overcome every temptation that overcame Adam. The Holy Spirit empowering him to overcome those things that were struggles for Adam, to show us that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we also can face down the temptations of our adversary and overcome every obstacle that comes our way. You have power through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have power through the Word of God to overcome. But we've got to get in the battle. We've got to start with understanding that God wants to infill us with His Holy Spirit. He wants to fill us full to overflowing until we are, if you please, not necessarily drunken. It's kind of the opposite. The Bible said we're supposed to become circumspect, walking not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buying back the time. Not time wasters, not time, just spenders, but time redeemers. As the Holy Spirit fills our life, we say, how can I better use my time to glorify my Master? How can I better use the time in my day to fill myself fuller with the Holy Spirit and become more able to wield the Word of the living God? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. He talks to us. He said, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How do I become full of the Spirit? How do I become drunken on the Spirit? I sing to myself. Instead of singing the songs of the honky-tonk, how one guy ran off with another man's wife and how my old dog Blue got kicked or whatever and ran out on the old porch or I fell there. And that, you know, instead of thinking about that, I'm sleeping single in a double bed or whatever it is, whatever. Instead of singing that, we ought to be singing, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, redeemed, redeemed. Hallelujah. Those are the things that we ought to be singing about. And when you sing spiritual songs and make melody in your heart to the Lord, it edifies you, it builds you up. You're speaking to yourself. And then you'll find out after you get done speaking with yourself, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You're going through a difficulty, Brother Steve, and you don't know how to deal with it. You wake up in the morning and you got this little song in the back of your mind, just going over and over and over again. And for a while, you don't even realize it's there. And then all of a sudden, Sister Gail, you stop and you realize what the song is. And your mind has just been going 100 miles an hour about all your worries and all your cares and all you're thinking about. And then all of a sudden, you realize what that song is that the Holy Spirit is singing over you. And you realize that it's just exactly what you needed to make it through the day. I heard a song just recently. It's by the Newsboys that says, stand. When the world is breaking, stand. Hallelujah. I was going through a difficulty and I just heard that song behind me singing to me. And then I plugged it in and I listened to it. And Brother Mark, I didn't realize how it blanketed the circumstance that God was just saying, you're in a battle, just stand. You don't have to do anything. Just don't give any ground. Just don't move. Just stand still and see the salvation of God. Oh, how the Holy Spirit can help you and I to stand in the evil day. And when you've done all to stand therefore, praise God forevermore. But it happens when we learn how to sing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He was led into the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why? So he could put to death the deeds of the body and that he could face and overcome the temptations of the devil. Let's go back, Brother Tom. I want you to go back there to Ephesians chapter 5 because I wanted to look at some of these things that are so... I just hit on some of them. He says, don't be drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Whew. We don't do enough of that, saints. We don't spend time just singing to ourselves and edifying ourselves because that will help you and I to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things. You don't understand it. You don't know why you're going through what you're going through. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but he says, giving thanks always. For all things. It's always right on time when you just simply thank God where you are. Giving thanks unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is another important point. For you and I to be full of the Holy Spirit, we've got to learn to submit to authority. How many know that the spirit of the devil is to rise against authority? To rebel against he rebelled against God, didn't he? He thought he knew better than God. His pride rose him up to where he says, hey, I want to be like the Most High. I'm not going to submit myself to God. Look at me, I'm beautiful, I can sing, I got an organ in my breast, and everybody should worship me. They shouldn't be worshiping God. And God said, he cast him out of the throne of God. Hallelujah. And he cast him into this old earth or into the heavens. Amen. He was out of the heavenly places with God and he was cast out. And now he's there to torment and to try to accuse the brethren and hinder us. But he's telling us something here. The Apostle Paul is helping us to see the way you and I become full of the Holy Spirit is by submitting ourselves one to another. I need some guidance. I need some help. I don't have all the answers. Hey, brother, can you help me? Can you guide me? Can you direct me? He goes on to say, husbands, submit yourself, or wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Come on. There's an authority that God has given to the church. And as we submit to those that are over us, as we submit to authority, then we have authority in our own lives to resist the evil in this world. But if I don't submit to authority, then I have no authority to resist the devil and his temptations in my life. If I don't submit to authority, then when I try to resist, there will be no power for me to resist. But somehow when I begin to submit to the authorities over me, submit myself to God, resist the devil, the Bible said, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Oh, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hallelujah. He's calling us, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. And your joy into heaviness. Oh, praise God. We just humble and submit to God. Say, God, I need your help. And somehow comes the power of God to help us through the difficult time. Oh, praise God. How many know that when Jesus came then out of the wilderness, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He came in the power of the Spirit. And remember, throughout his life, he was led, he was directed, he was used, glorified through the Holy Spirit of God working in his life. He did nothing but what the Holy Spirit guided and directed him to do. And then we find him in the garden at the end of his life, before he goes to the cross, he says to his followers, he's praying. And he gets done as he's wrestling with what he has to do to go to the cross and give his life. He comes back to his disciples. He had told them to watch and pray. And he comes back, Sister Donna, and they're fast asleep. And he says to those followers of his, he says, could not you watch and pray with me 1 hour? Could you not just be praying with me as I go through this difficulty? And then he goes back and the Bible says, he says to his disciples, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How important it is for us to see that Jesus is helping us with the understanding that it's in prayer and in waiting before God and watching that we find the Holy Spirit strengthening our spirit and helping the old flesh to die away. Right? We begin to wait upon Him. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is just sit before God and just wait. Not to be in a hurry. Lord, I'm just here until I can hear from you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. And as your spirit moves upon me, I'm going to ask you to move in my life and upon others in my family. But this hour, this moment, this time is your moment. Hallelujah. I don't have anything else on the schedule. This belongs to you. Oh, hallelujah. And in those times is when we're strengthened in our spirit. Hallelujah. Watch and pray, he said, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many know because Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying that he found himself unable to stand up against the temptations that were to follow? He was unable to really be bold in the presence of those that said, you're a follower of Jesus, aren't you? No, no. A little girl saying, hey, you were with him. No, no, not me. And he curses and swears so that they'll know, no, I wasn't his follower. But it all started when he failed to be praying when he needed to be praying. Oh, we can try to get around that, but there's no way of getting around it. We've got to be led by the Spirit. And it starts on our knees in prayer. We call it a prayer life, but is it really a prayer life? Amen. Come on, is it just One day on Sunday morning, or maybe one day here and there that you actually, or is it actually a prayer life that starts your day in prayer, and then you pray to God, and then throughout your day you're praying and asking God to just guide you, and then at the end of the day you're on your knees, or before you lay down you're saying, God, one more time, thank you for how you've guided my feet through my life and how you've helped me and blessed me, and I know you're going to be there another day. Hallelujah. You're going to be with me tomorrow. Oh, it's got to be a prayer life. And as we become more dependent, as we realize our own weakness, we begin to really begin to pray. Oh, there's too many people today that don't know really how to pray. They don't know how to get a hold upon God. They don't know how to wait in His presence. And really, the only way we learn how to pray is to pray. Just start praying. Set apart a time in your life and say, this is when I'm going to pray. This is when I'm going to get into the Word of God. How many know that God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform? How many know that our thoughts are not His thoughts, neither are our ways His ways, saith the Lord. Heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Because how many know that our looks can be deceiving? How many know that we can look at the circumstances and situations of our life and be misguided by what we're seeing? We've got to be led by the Spirit. Guided by the Spirit. I wanted to look at just a few things here. As it relates to Paul and Silas and their missionary journey. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 16 and verses 6 through 10. There's some powerful things I just want us to see, that sometimes as we're being led by the Spirit of God, things don't always look like we expect them to look. And yet if we'll follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, He'll have His way in our life. If you look at verse 6, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come to Mysia and they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Many times I think there's some presumptions or assumptions that we make as it relates to being led by the Holy Spirit sometimes. Here Paul and Silas were missionaries. So you think, well, their whole purpose is to preach the Word. So wherever they go, they should be preaching the Word. And they were set forth by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that they were ordained of the church. And so the Holy Spirit had sent Paul. The Bible said at one point they got together, Sister Donna, they had a prayer meeting with some prophets and some elders of the church. And as they were praying, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate unto us Paul and Barnabas for the mission work that God had for them. And so they separated them to the missionary work. And then Paul and Barnabas went out and they preached and they established churches and they were and put elders in these churches. God moved and helped them as they were working, as God by the Holy Spirit had directed them. And then they came back and they came back to Antioch. And then the Bible says that there was some dispute about whether people should be circumcised and whether they should keep the whole law. And so they gathered with the elders and they had a discussion about, should people, the Gentiles, be, should we hold them to be circumcised according to the law and do the law? And they came to the conclusion, no, No, that's not what God wants. If you look at Acts 15, verse 24, let's read that together. We find out the elders got together, they discussed it with Paul and Barnabas, and they came to the conclusion that God did not want that for the church. He said in verse 24 of Acts 15, he says, For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Verse 25, it seemed good for unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Paul, Barnabas and Paul. Verse 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, we have sent them, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, from fornications, from which ye... If you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. So they were, you know, instructed of the Holy Spirit to go out and preach. Then they came back. Then after they had gathered at the church, there was some discussion about some things. And so they went back to the elders and they discussed it. And they came to the conclusion, no, the Holy Spirit is telling us that's not what we need to do. We don't need to have people circumcised. And so all along the way, they're being guided by the Holy Spirit. But there was never, they were set forth by the Holy Spirit. But they never, there was never a presumption where they said, well, because we are being directed by the Holy Spirit and we've been sent forth by the Holy Spirit, that we can just go now and do whatever comes before us. They're in this boat. And they're on this journey, and they're asking God, should we preach here? Is this where we need to go? And God, the Holy Ghost, says, no, I forbid you to preach in Asia. And then they go to another, and they're looking at another town, and the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you. Think about how keenly God, the Holy Spirit, is directing the early church. Can we also believe God for the same? Can we believe God can direct us the same way in every decision that we make? I think we can. If we'll believe God for it, He will help us. He will guide us. There's many ways that He directs us. And so He forbids them to go preach in Asia, and He forbids them at another place. But now He gives them a vision, Sister Sarah. And He shows them in this dream, Paul sees this guy in Macedonia saying, come over. And Paul says, I think the God is telling us to come to Macedonia and to preach the gospel. And so they go over there. It's a curious thing though. They get to Macedonia and they don't run into a man. They run into women. They run into a woman's prayer meeting. Women are getting ready to go out to the beach side to pray, and Paul and Silas join with them and go out to the prayer meeting. And he speaks to them the gospel, and Lydia, which is a seller of purple, she gives her heart to the Lord. The Bible says, her heart is open and she receives the gospel about Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection, and she gets saved. And then they start going to this prayer meeting every day with Lydia and her group, her band of prayer warriors. And on their way to this prayer meeting every day, there's this poor girl full of evil spirits that's following them, saying, these are the servants of the Most High God that come to show us the way of salvation. And Paul gets grieved that she continues to say this every day. Realize that it's not of God, and he rebukes the spirit, this evil spirit inside of her, and she's set free. But along the way, I thought to myself, wouldn't Paul be saying, Lord, You said there was going to be a man in Macedonia. And all we're seeing is women. The vision was of a man that was calling for us to come to preach the gospel, and yet it's not looking the way that we thought it was. How many know there's some times when God is leading us and directing us that what we're seeing may not be what the vision was that God gave us? But we've got to be faithful. You think, well, should I just throw in the towel or should I reevaluate what God is doing? Should I just stop and pray and say, because sometimes we're saying it's just not turning out the way I thought it would. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And some are tempted to throw the towel, I give up. Or should I? No, God wants a relationship. And so sometimes it doesn't look the way we think it is supposed to look. So He's calling us to pray and to reevaluate what's going on here, Lord. And no doubt God was saying, and how many know on the way to fulfilling God's vision and purpose for your life, that the ministry is not just at the end goal. Well, God called me to there, so blinders on all the way until I get there, and I'll do that. No, all along the way, there's ministry as we approach what God is calling you and I to do. Hallelujah. How many know that it was interruptions along Jesus' pathway as He was headed to a person's house? He was headed to do this or that. Along the way, there was a woman that creeped out of the crowd and touched the hem of His garment. And there was a man up in a tree. And all along the way to the cross, those interruptions were ministries, opportunities where we could be a blessing. Or He could touch people's lives. How do I know that? How do I know that that's the way God's work? We got to be led by the Spirit of God. Yes, God, this is what You want me to do. This is my purpose. This is where You're taking me. But all along the way, God has opportunities for you and I to minister and to be a blessing. We can't be led by our eyesight. How things appear. He was supposed to see a man of Macedonia, but he saw a woman's prayer meeting and then a little servant girl that was demon-possessed. But God had ministry and God had a harvest for him to reap all the way to where he was headed. Oh God, help us to stay the course. How does the harvest look? How does it look? I mean, do we have a preconceived notion that how ministry is going to look, or do we open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants it to be? You've got a wealthy woman and you've got a poor girl. You've got a worshiper of God in Lydia and you've got a girl full of evil spirits. You've got an upstanding businesswoman that's wealthy and you've got a poor girl involved in some kind of scheme for ill-gotten gains. Think about it. Here she is, by an evil spirit declaring that they are servants of the Most High God, and you've got this woman who is a rich woman going to a prayer meeting that doesn't know the Lord. How does the harvest look? It doesn't always look or appear the way we think it will. Here's a woman that looks like she's doing all the things that a spiritual woman should do. She's a worshiper of God. She's going to a prayer meeting, but she doesn't know Jesus Christ. We've got to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Because they might be doing religious things and they might be doing all the things that look like they know Christ, but they may not know Him. They might be full of evil spirits and declaring things that sound religious, but they don't know Christ. Hallelujah. How do I navigate it? I need the Holy Spirit of God. I need the ability to discern. I need the ability to be guided by God so I can get places where I wouldn't necessarily be to tell that person about Christ. It's God that opens the heart, isn't it? He opened the heart of this woman named Lydia, and she said, "I believe what you're telling me." And she was changed. And she said, if you have judged me to be faithful, I want you to come and I want you to stay at my house. My next point is, don't get distracted in the lap of luxury. Oh, come on and lay in these nice beds that we've got and come and enjoy this nice food that I'm going to provide because I'm a wealthy woman in town. And here they are, just, we must have followed the will of the Lord because everything's going our way. Hallelujah out there. How many know that's like it's like? We're like, oh boy, I know God was in this because man, look at how we're eating, look how we're sleeping and how things are going. But 2 days later, when they cast the spirit out of this little woman, they end up in a prison cell. Backs beaten bloody, Sister Patsy. Heads a throbbing from loss of blood. Wondered, where did we miss the boat? How did we get off track? How did we get sidetracked? But, oh, Brother Mark, we know that they were right in the heart and the center of God's holy will. I'm saying you can't be led by your eyesight. You've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Oh, it's exciting to be led by God's Spirit. What you've got to do, Sister Patsy, is you've got to be faithful to the Spirit's leading. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. When He grieves you, when you just have, I can just see Paul. He's walking down the road with their band of prayer warriors, or whatever you want to call it. They're walking to the beachhead where they can pray. And he hears that woman back there crying out, "These are the servants of the Most High God." And it just is irritating him. It's just getting on his last nerve because he knows what she's saying is not with the spirit that's inside of her. And I bet he gets alone and prays after he's back at Lydia's house and saying, "God, I don't know how to handle this, but I know that's not you." He's saying, "God, how would you have me to handle it? It's getting on my last nerve." And finally, about the second or third day, he understands that God's spirit is grieved, and he turns and looks her in the eye and says, "Come out of her, you unclean spirit," and she's set free. What I'm saying is, when the Holy Spirit is working inside of you and it's grieved inside of you and He's motivating you to do something that's outside of the norm, we've got to be obedient. But then when you are backs beaten or bloody and you're laying in the inner prison with your feet and hands shackled and your head's a-throbbing and you don't want to praise God, you've got to be true to the Holy Spirit of God. When they didn't want to get out the hymn book, when they didn't want to praise God, when they didn't want to rejoice in Him, yet they found themselves rejoicing, I'm saying they were faithful to the Holy Spirit. They just begin to do what they knew they had to do. We need to seek the Lord and we need to glorify His wonderful name even in the circumstance that we find ourselves in. Don't let the devil sidetrack you. Don't let him get you looking at the circumstances. Remember the Word of God. Remember His purpose, His calling, and be faithful to the Holy Spirit and His direction and His leading in your life. Too many times we hear the Word of God, we know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we forget what God has said and we walk away from the Word of God. We've got to go back, lay hold of it again, remind ourselves, this is what God told me. I'm going to hold to His promise. I'm going to believe Him what He's told me. I'm going to trust Him to see me through. I'm going to grab hold of the Spirit's sword. I'm going to be faithful in the battle. And oh, how we know that God, when we're faithful to the Spirit guiding us and directing us, when we're worshiping Him even in difficult times, when we're obeying His leading and direction, how many know God will come on the scene at the right moment? Hallelujah. An earthquake come, Brother Tom, and shook the place where they were assembled together. Doors started flying open. Chains and shackles started coming off. Oh, hallelujah. What happens when God's people are committed to being led by the Spirit of God, following His direction and His guidance? They're putting themselves aside and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide their lives. So many times, and what I want you to take away from this is that you can't trust what you're seeing. You've got to live on your prayer bones and the Word of God, because so many times you're going to be led astray. Think about this. When the shackles fell off and the doors came swinging open, there's some funny things that happen that are kind of unusual, I think. The Bible said that when that happened, the guy that is the jailer, he got ready to kill himself. Because if they get away, he's going to die anyway. So he puts the sword through him. Right? He's going to kill himself. And you know what Paul says? He says, don't kill yourself. We're all here. Now, that's kind of strange. If you're in a prison cell, Brother Steve, and you have everybody's shackles and the doors fly open, don't you know that if you're in prison, a lot of them are just going to bolt? I'm getting out of here, man. You do what you're going to do, but I'm gone. And yet somehow, they all stayed right there. Paul said, you don't have to worry. We're all right here. How many know that when God's in control, He can control it all? We're worried about a lot of things happening. We worry about too much. What's going to happen if I do this? Just worry about following the Holy Spirit. Just worry about obeying Him. He'll take care of the rest. He says to this man, he says, do thyself no harm. When the Spirit's involved, being led by the Spirit, you know, Paul could have been of the Spirit and said, boy, that guy, when we were hurting and when we were beaten and everything, he throws us into the inner prison in this bad place and all this slop and mess, and then he puts shackles on our... He said, oh, I'm not going to... Hurt yourself, you know. I want to get back. There's a lot of people that aren't led by the Spirit as Christians. I hope he gets more than what I get because he did me this and he did me that. But he says, do yourself no harm. Don't do any harm to yourself. He calls for light. He springs in upon Paul and upon Silas and upon the people of, and the Bible says he fell down trembling. Now I think this is kind of funny. He's the one with the sword in his hand, but he's the one on the ground trembling. Oh, what the Holy Spirit can do when He's involved, how He can control all the circumstances and the situations in our life when we simply... All those things that we seem to think that are out of our control will become under His control when we surrender our life completely to His leading. He called for light and he springs in. He's got this light maybe, and he goes in. And as Paul looks up, he sees a man of Macedonia, a jailer. Maybe it was the same face, Brother Mark, that he saw in the vision that said, come over here and help us. The same exact guy that he thought, oh, he could have been sidetracked. He could have thought, we've missed it by a million miles. What's going on? But there he was standing there, the Apostle Paul, looking into the very face of the man that God sent him there to win to Christ. All the things that it could get him off his mark, but now he sees this guy face to face. I don't know if it was him, but I think it was him. And the guy says, I want to take you home and I want to wash your wounds. And I want you to share the good news of the gospel. He says, what must I do to be saved? He says to Paul. And Paul says, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in thy house and you shall be saved. He simply has to believe upon the Lord, put his confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. And then he takes him home, washes his wounds. His whole family gives their heart to the Lord. He baptizes them. I don't know where, but somewhere in a pond or something on their land. I don't know how. And then he comes back to the jail and locks himself back in. Oh, what the Holy Spirit can do. It doesn't always look the way... Listen, life is messy. And there'll be things that are going to come into your life that you're going to think, God, how could this possibly be? But be led by the Spirit of God. Don't get sidetracked. Hallelujah. Let God work in your life. Let God guide your... I don't know if you're there today or not. Maybe you're looking at some circumstances and situations in your life that maybe you're wondering about what God is doing. And yet we've got the promise of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of His Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. As we move forward as a body, as a church, we've got to just simply trust in the Holy Spirit of God. As we, Sister Gail, are looking at what's happening in our world, right? The upheaval, some of the things that we don't know, what's going to happen tomorrow. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us through it all. Amen. You know, I was blessed yesterday because we were looking for the church where Brother Dan, we were celebrating his life. It was a beautiful service. What a wonderful thing to be able to know that he's there in glory just waiting for us. The big smile. Amen. Waiting for us to want our journey. But I was reminded, Brother Tom, that that was the very church where a man from Poland, who I was working with up there in Charlevoix, talk about the mysterious working of the Holy Spirit. One day I come into work, and he has had a drunk driving ticket, and things are going bad for him. Just a few days prior to that, I think a week before that, he asked me what I was going to do for the weekend. I said, I'm going to go to the jail. And I did it with a smile on my face. I'm going to go to the jail. And he said that just struck him. He said, here's a guy that's happy to go to jail. He said, I've been there a few times and I wasn't happy. And it struck him, and he got in some trouble over the weekend, and he comes back into work. And he says, I know I need to get my life right to God. And Brother Mark, he says to me, I need to pray. And I said, okay, I'll get with you. He said, I want you to get with me after work. So we got in the car, and I'm trying to drive him down to the beach. And I can't find a way down to the beach in Charlevoix. I can't find a way to get down there. We're driving around, and finally he pulls up beside me, Brother Tom. He says, I said, I'm trying to find the beach. He said, don't worry about it. I know where we can go. And he pulls out, and I pull behind him. He drives us right down to that Reformed church. And on the side, you might have seen it where it says, Prayer Chapel. He says, let's go in there. We both walk into the prayer chapel, got down on our knees before the altar, and he prayed himself through to old time salvation. A changed man. It wasn't anything I was doing. It was all about the Holy Spirit. It was all about him working in this man's life. I was saying things I didn't think had any impact in him, but God was using that because he had his bullseye on this man. Hallelujah. All we've got to be is ready and willing, and the Holy Spirit can help us along the way to save and to win a harvest. I think I make it too hard sometimes. But it's simply just being led of Him, being available. That's all I'm saying. Don't get off track. Don't let the devil discourage you by necessarily what you're seeing. But know what God has planned for us as a body. Let's pray right now for one another. You and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to ask God, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's where you start. I want you to just ask God today, God, I want all that you have for me. I want you to fill me with your Holy Ghost. If it's been a while, if it's been a long time since you really had the Holy Spirit just flow out of your life, you've been baptized in His Holy Spirit, but it's been a while since you just felt that power just flowing into you and flowing out of you as you prayed unto God. I want you to ask God, God, I want to be refilled with your Spirit. I want you to empower me, Lord, in this last day. Oh, hallelujah. That's where it's going to begin. Each day, us praying for God to fill us with His Holy Spirit. As you lay your hand on your neighbor right there,